Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 119. Yes, this is the 119th edition here at the Caffeination. This is the April Fool's Day edition, or the Jokes Ahoy edition. We have a huge amount of content for you tonight. Hope everybody's ready and willing for what we're about to try and dish out here. There is a ton of April Fool's jokes to catch everybody up on, and I just had to run through a couple little talking points here on the general information side of things. This was a very tough episode to put together. Why, you might ask? Well, because everyone and anyone who I usually go to for news thought it would be awesome to release stories today that had no basis in fact or anything that you could imagine. So it was more than a little hard to sift through the cruft, so to speak, to find the truly wonderful nuggets of joy that were out there today. And you were all very lucky that I didn't attempt to do any of my supposed jokes. I had a couple things that were just rattling around in my head today, and I was like, you know what? It'd be pretty much plain to see through it. That and April Fool's jokes generally tend not to be very funny on April 2nd. So that's when most of you are going to download this show. So we're just going to back off that. I'd also like to say a big happy birthday out there to my grandmother, my Nana. She is... She's 81 this year. She was actually born on April Fool's Day, and according to a story she told us a couple years ago, her father didn't believe that she was a girl. The doctor came out of the delivery room, said, "It's a girl," and he went, "Oh, really?" or something along those lines. So happy birthday, Nan. We have a great show lined up for you today. We have a little shift in how things are done. We are going to be reporting all the fake news that's not fit to print. And then we're going to throw a couple things out there which may or may not be fake stories. Then we're also going to throw out the only two stories which I found really interesting that weren't fake, I think. And a little bit of caffeinated bits. Of course, one's a joke, definitely, and one's not a joke, possibly. So we're just trying to figure out exactly where everything stands today. Like I said, it was a hard thing to do today. So first of all, we wanted to talk to you a little bit about our sponsor. This show is still sponsored by GoToMeeting. It's a wonderful company. You can try it free for 45 days over there. If you're looking for a better way to work together or during your conference calls, your solution is very simple. Web conferencing with GoToMeeting. During your call, everyone logs on to GoToMeeting.com and your computer screen shows up on their computer screens. It's like you're all in the same room. GoToMeeting is perfect for sales or product demos, training, or real-time collaboration. Imagine being able to do something on your machine and have them see it all over the world. It's wonderful. Plus, you're not charged per minute like some other providers, as you can meet as long as you want, as often as you need. With GoToMeeting, you can meet anyone, anywhere, without ever leaving your office. You not only end up saving time this way, but you also end up saving a lot of money, too. I mean, just think of all the airfare that you're not spending. See for yourself. You can head on over to GoToMeeting.com and try it free for 45 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's PODCAST. GoToMeeting.com/podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. All right, we'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a sponsor here at the Caffeination. It's wonderful to have a sponsor like this for the duration that we have. We feel very comfortable with that software. Feel very comfortable with the relationship we have thus far. Like I said, they're helping pay the bills around here in a big way. It's not that much of an imposition upon my family any longer for me to have a website or anything like that. And that's very good when you have a wee one around and on the way like we did last year, but still. All right, we might want to really start off this podcast on the right way. We have a little bit of listener feedback from one of our listeners, James. He humbly requested, or not so humbly requested, almost demanded that we play a song from Jonathan Colton. We have a huge listener response from playing Jonathan Colton's R.E. Your Brains last time, a wonderful song which has been stuck in my head ever since I played it on the show, and even a little bit before then. I actually played it for my brother-in-law tonight, and now he's going around humming the song. Yeah, can't speak again. All right, so we decided to do a repeat performance, but not of that song. We decided to do a song that James requested. So, James, here we have from Jonathan Colton over at jonathancolton.com. That's JonathanColton.com. Or you can just search for Jonathan Colton. Even if you butcher the spelling, it's probably going to come up the same way. Here's the song that kind of feels like a good song to play today. It's called I Feel Fantastic. I humbly submit to your listening. listener feedback and requests, James, here you go. I feel fantastic.
Get up early when the sleeping pill wakes me. I take a wake-up pill, I fill with energy. I power on hard and I check my messages, but I don't have any messages. I take a driving pill and head to my car. I drive around it because work isn't very far. I call my phone and I check my messages, but I don't have any messages. All I know, driving on drugs feels better when they're prescription. All I know, the world looks beautiful, the world looks so damn beautiful. I feel fantastic, and I never felt as good as how I do right now. Except for maybe when I think of how I felt that day, when I felt the way that I do right now, right now. I feel fantastic, and I never felt as good as how I do right now. Except for maybe when I think of how I felt that day, when I felt the way that I do right now, right now, right now. Work is anything but quiet. I try to mitigate my concentration aids. I can see the day unfold in front of me, so I take the stairs and hit the gym. The phone is ringing when I get to my desk. Well, plus the sting, it's now a sharp pain in my chest. So I take a calm and next and just chill. And then it's time for lunch again. All I know, work is easy when you don't stress out about deadlines. All I know is I take my medicine. I always take my medicine. I feel fantastic, and I never felt as good as how I do right now. Except for maybe when I think about how I felt that day, when I felt the way that I do right now, right now. I feel fantastic, and I never felt as good as how I do right now. Except for maybe when I think about how I felt that day, when I felt the way that I do right now, right now, right now, right now, right now. Over, but I can't stay to work late. Gotta leave and get ready for my second date with a pretty girl that I met at the pharmacy. Right in the prescription line, I take a pill for my social anxiety. I get a table and a nice bottle of Chablis. Now it's getting late and there's still no sign of her. I have another glass of wine. All I know is the wine lasts longer when you don't gotta share it with someone. All I know is the steak tastes better when I take my steak tastes better pill. Fantastic, and I never felt as good as how I do right now. Except for maybe when I think about how I felt that day, when I felt the way that I do right now, right now. I feel fantastic, and I never felt as good as how I do right now. Except for maybe when I think about how I felt that day, when I felt.
Oh, sorry about that there at the end. Yes, that was Jonathan Colton and his song, I Feel Fantastic. Actually didn't have that one set up the normal way that I do around here at the Caffeination. Actually had that one set up playing in iTunes, because that's one of the locations that the song kind of lives on my computer. So a little bit of social distortion there in the end, and more than just in the actual song. So hopefully it didn't irritate too many people. All right, more on to our tech tidbits. This is the April Fool's Super Roundup Edition. Everything that I could find online that I thought was interesting enough to throw back out to you. And let me just tell you, within the tech community, there is a huge, huge contingent of practical jokers, shall we say. There's really not much else that you can do other than just take your medicine. You gotta take that steak taste better pill today, because some of those service providers are unbelievable with some of the fun stuff they come out with today. Alright, well, first up, we're gonna go with the big giant on the list. Yes, that's Google, the G-O-O-G-L-E. No fun thing on their logo today. Why? Because they want you to think that some of this stuff might actually happen. First up, the almost perfect implementation of Google or Gmail Paper, actually. You click, we stack, you get. Yes, there's three pictures up on the top of the page. It's free, so the cost of postage is offset with relative targeted unobtrusive advertisements, which will appear on the back of all your printouts. Basically, you email people, then whenever you want to, you actually get all of your email in paper form sent directly to your house. I know a lot of professors in school who are actually would try that, and they have their own little Gmail print system going on, but That was interesting enough, but they didn't let it stop at one thing. I mean, Google usually introduces a couple fun things today. This is actually Gmail's birthday. I think it's their third birthday for Gmail, so happy birthday, Gmail. You're almost up to 3 gigs of storage. Fantastic. We have the TISP, also for Google. It's another beta. It's the Toilet Information or Internet Service Provider. Yes, that's correct. You need to go over there. There's not much else I can explain. They call dark porcelain. So basically, they show someone running a Ethernet cable down the pipe into the sewer, where a PhD with a snorkel and what I can only assume is sewage dripping from his arm. This is all stick figure layout. But it picks up the Ethernet cable and then that becomes your access node. There's not much else you can do. You really need to go on over there and check this out. I love a good practical joke. Just some of the stuff that they have there today, it's like, wow. How long did they spend doing this? And you got to love a company that, you know, for all the other stuff they put out and for all the fun things they do, you know, that just seems to be a real interesting place to work with all this kind of stuff floating around. A little bit of Yahoo throwing down. This is underground.yahoo.com. Had Yahoo Underground News presented by a bunch of hipster people. I don't really know what this is supposed to be. Kind of hackneyed version of a Yahoo News page. Flickr was spelled F-I-L-K-E-R. Who's Brad? Your ultimate unauthorized video host. And what the F? Or what the bang ampersand dollar sign at symbol question mark exclamation point again. So nice try, Yahoo. Still doesn't have the polish of some of the Google fun stuff. Here, another fun one that we have out there today is actually from World of Warcraft. Yes, the tinfoil hat armor. It helps you with I actually think I'm messing this up, but just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you. So the tinfoil hat helps you with all that. For those of you who are not very familiar with the tinfoil hat, tinfoil hats are kind of used to describe people who are a little bit of a conspiracy theorist. Going back to one of the stories a while ago, I think this actually predates a lot of the technology out there. Apparently aliens, government agencies, whatever else there may have been, were trying to infiltrate your brainwaves in a nefarious fashion. So, of course, the only probable way to block that out was to coat your head in tinfoil to block out the harmful rays, when actually a simple Faraday's cage probably would have worked. So in case you didn't realize the certain origins of that's right around what it is. I actually should find what the actual origins are, because I think that would actually be fun to put into the show notes. Yep, tinfoil hat over at Wikipedia, also known as TFH. They show different examples of it, so you can head on over there and check that out. Original resource and unattributed claims. That's the hallmark of a really good Wikipedia article. Let's see what else we have over there today. Like I said, it was really hard to actually find real news today, and I'm not sure, but all right, let's see. 1 second. There we go. Tinfoil. It was really hard to find real news today, and I kept trying. I was like, you know, maybe this is a real story. It almost seems plausible, but there's one place that every April Fool's Day I always head over to. What is it? It's ThinkGeek.com. And it's the smart stuff for smart masses is the usual tagline of the site. Today they dropped the M, so you can put the math together yourself. Of course, they have the obligatory product not available, but shipping now. 2 years ago it was the PS3. Last year it was the PS3, I think. Now it's the iPhone. Click to order. Today's products run down the gamut of fun things. First thing was the ThinkGeek WeHelm. There's actually a video of this one. I couldn't find it right off the bat, but I saw it earlier in the day. Unbelievable. It's a chick sitting there eating big bowl of Cheerios, doing whatever else she wants. And the Wiimote was mounted into an LED-capable helmet. And it's for the lazy, so if you were bowling, you'd flick your head forward. If you were playing tennis, you'd wobble your head side to side. The snoozin' laws, the Wi-Fi donation alarm clock, it says tells you exactly how much donations are going to everybody over there. The ingenious sages at Think Geek Labs have finally created the ultimate weapon against snoozing. The Snooze and Lose tells people who enjoy sleeping in or cowering in fear all across the globe. Yeah. Then my personal favorite from this year ranks right up there with some of the awesomeness from years gone by, like the Easy Bake Oven for your PC. We have the Piranhas RC Battlefish. Shooting fish with lasers is a fun hobby. Now that is a wonderful tagline to start off any product there, but there's not much sport in it, so they armed some fishies with lasers of their own. So I would love to see, you know, like a red team of piranha and a blue team of piranha, you know, maybe add, you know, weapon upgrades along the way. That would be kind of cool. The next little thing they have here, I'm just going to run down these products because they're so awesome. Obviously you can't buy any of them, so we're just going to gloss over that. Some of them are almost good enough to think, like, hey, they might actually be able to make that. Like, you could cut apart a bicycle helmet and actually make your own Wii helm. Not that you really need to, because you'd probably give yourself carpal tunnel of the neck at that point. But the next one, I actually know a couple technologists who could probably put this one to good use. This is the Lonely Guy Dream Vacation Digital Photo Frame. Basically, you take a picture of your sorry self, you put it into the digital photo, then it scrolls across all kinds of fun places, exotic beauties that you're next to, faux wives and children's, exotic locales such as the pyramid next to a swimsuit model in the middle of the ocean, that kind of stuff, and it puts you in there, scrolls through, so your life is a lot more interesting than it actually is. What else do they have over there? This is one thing that I really hope they actually end up offering, just because it's high awesomeness level. This is the 8-bit tie. It's a tie composed entirely of pixel-like objects. Now, it may look silly. I would definitely buy it. It actually looks like they might put it in production, but it says, hey, you, quit emailing us to make this for real already. We promise we'll make it. In fact, we're already working on it. I'm sorry. Actually, this is awesomeness. You just forced our hand. Click the email me when available link above to get notified. Thanks. I guess the joke is on us this year. All right. That's awesome. So we are going to be able to purchase this tie. I will be buying this tie in all of its pixelated goodness. That's fun to know. That wasn't there a little bit earlier when I was putting the show together. Now, the next thing is the ubiquitous item that's available every year. Yes, it's the free t-shirt with the $15 purchase. This last year, they had the RFID blocking duct tape patch. So you were supposed to cut the hole in the middle of your t-shirt out and wrap it around whatever you wanted to protect. I still have that, wear it from time to time. This year, we have the most amazing, clever shirt ever. Yes, it's a black t-shirt with a slightly off-kilter logo that says, my other shirt is clever. Yeah. One more product that we're going to talk about a little bit later, and then the best of all products. This I think takes the cake this year. This is the Vilcus Plug Dactylodapter. Yes, it's a object that you wear on the tips of your two fingers, your middle finger and your pointer finger. You plug it into these two, and then you take this and you plug it into a wall socket to find out if the wall socket works. Yeah, I used to do that, actually. There was a wonderful, fabulous time when I was a little bit younger in my life. I think I was like 8 or 9 years old, and I was playing around with electricity. Always a fun thing for children to do. It's also something that I'm very aware of now that we have my son laying around. You know, I know at one point in time, he might look at that wonderful wall socket and say, I wonder what I could do with that. The answer is not much without getting burned. I took a green craft wire of somewhat thick gauge, wrapped it around my hands, and for some unknown reason, to this day, I still have no reason why I did the next step. You take two ends that were hanging out, and I shoved them into a wall socket, completing the circuit. Do you know what that does? That turns your hand into a piece of toast and the wire into a toaster oven heating element. The lights in the house dimmed. My parents looked up the stairs and went, what the heck was that? I came downstairs crying with black lines drawn all across my hand. Not funny at that point. Funny in retrospect only because of my utter stupidity. Thank God I wasn't actually standing in a puddle of water. I think that would have completed the triumvirate of stupidity. But you learn from your mistakes. So yes, craft wire does actually conduct electricity. It also has a fair amount of resistance, so it makes a wonderful heating element in case you ever come across the need for one of those. Yeah, the t-shirt. So I already ordered enough stuff to get that coming this way. Let's see what else we have here. Man, like I said, these are all April Fool's jokes that have been thrown out there. Over at mopo.ca, they have a link to the perfect 404. It's the 404 error message found in a book. Yep, that's about it. It's the paperback 404 error. I guess when you're looking for the next chapter and the author hasn't written it yet, this is the proper way to do that. Now, the next thing is near and dear to my heart, not only because I love Lord of the Rings. I mean, so much so, my senior thesis in high school was on Lord of the Rings and the connection to Norse mythology. I've had a map of Middle-earth hanging in my office. I've watched all the extended editions multiple times. I mean, it's pretty bad when it comes right down to it. I can argue semantics and... not semantic, the vendor, but I can argue semantics and all that other stuff. I haven't learned any of the languages yet, so I'm not quite on par with the Star Trek geek who knows Klingon yet, but I have a couple phrases here and there in Elvish that I know, but I'm also not really big on the pronunciation, but still. Lord of the Rings Online is one of those things I'm actually trying to stay away from because I know I have a very addictive personality, so right now, there's a free beta running till the end of April. If you head on over there, it's the Lord of the Rings Online Shadows of Angmar. If you pre-order the software, then you actually get a $10 a month pay to be on the site after the free beta. And if you wait, it's a $15 a month thing. Neither of which actually fit within my budget. So we're just going to stay well from that. Well, they actually announced a new playable race today. It's a... let me see if I have this right. It's... there's a new playable race called... yeah, great. I have no clue what it's called, but it's something along the lines of Smurfs. Of course, it's a small version of blue hobbits that are fond of white wool caps. There's all kinds of fun things throughout there. They actually have a couple screenshots of blue hobbits in white hats frolicking around. It says that the hobbits have the blue tint to their... to their skin because of the brand of mushroom and berry that they used to eat, so which actually permanently dyes their skin throughout their life. So yes, Lord of the Rings Online throwing down a little Smurf love right there. Now, one studio which I know is a fabulous practical joker, they've released fun stuff from now and then, but Bungie Studios has a movie project apparently being released. What is it? Well, of course it's Pimps at Sea. Yeah, you heard me right. Pimping ain't easy. So they have a link to a whole bunch of stuff. They have possible director, or they have the director, which is I think James Cameron. I don't know. I can't read the. Oh wait, there they have a link to the thing. That's always wonderful. It's Walk the Haters Walk the Plank. It shows you a pimp cane with a giant 2008 on the top, and then there's a little image of a parrot with a hook for a head, which is probably a good realization that it's not necessarily the easiest. Sir Anthony Hopkins is in it, Damon Wayans, Pam Grier, and David Scully. Oh man, let's see who else wrote it. Oh, it's Michael Bay, the guy who's directing Transformers. That's the director. So, yeah, if that ever came out, Pimps at Sea, I think I'd have to watch it just out of, you know, very large sets of curiosity right there, wondering exactly how they're pimping on the sea, but still. Now, what would you do in a country that doesn't allow use of cell phones by private citizens because the dictator's wife dislikes them? That would be North Korea, by the way, in case you didn't know that. I don't have the direct link to the story that mentions that one, but I thought I'd just throw that out there. Well, the perfect place to go to escape from copyright violation laws and all that other stuff would be such a country. That's why there's a news post today over at thepiratebay.org. Yes, those notorious pranksters who, after the RIAA shut them down, and you did a lookup on their site, it finally got back and said the name of the main server was the RIAA Can Bite My Shiny Metal Rear End. Yet one long name for a server, which is just awesomeness personified. So thepiratebay.org, yes, they are actually heading over to North Korea. They're moving to the North Korean embassy in Stockholm, Sweden, so they're legally on the North Korean soil. Apparently, they've had extensive discussions with known technologist Korean Kim Jong-il. So they've decided to start a joint corporation. They're heading on over there. And, yeah, they, I don't understand what that exactly is, but hey, that's kind of scary, actually, because if that ever actually came about, I don't know if I could still use the Pirate Bay. I mean, human rights violations on your servers, but still. Only a couple more left on the ones that I found willing to share. The Wii, this was one from over in Engadget. Engadget had a whole lot of fake news stories today, and there was too many to actually keep up with. This one had a lot of legs, though, and for some reason, people just weren't paying attention to exactly what day it was when some of these things came out. So the Weevolution, yes, the HDMI-enabled 160-gigabyte hard drive packing WII was put out there. It says, "Are you fooled?" So it's a outlandish and suspect console game rumors. So just thought that I'd throw that out there. Let's see what else we have here. Moo, yep, over at the Skype Journal. I haven't actually seen if it's at Skype.com, which I'm heading over there now. But the SkypeJournal.com actually had a link to the new version of Skype. Yeah, there's nothing over at Skype, so oh well. But yep, said the link to the new version of Skype, Skype for Cows 3.2, yes, you heard me correctly, has a wonderful little cowbell in there. It says, user experience is especially tailored for cows, localization for cows from different countries, reference design and API designs for everyone, shows you a whole bunch of different product shots with grass in the background and Euro logos and dollar logos. And yeah, so when you... I don't know. They have Moo, Holstein, Moo food, grass wallpapers, a whole bunch of other stuff. It says there's actually special little treats, the Daisy. I'm not sure what the cookies would be called, maybe cow pies. But, I actually wasn't really impressed with this one, just for a couple reasons. I mean, a lot of the other people actually come out with new and original products to make fun of on today. So, I don't know if SkypeJournal.com is actually run by the guys who run Skype, but, even if it is, it's kind of like, you know, that's not necessarily a really, that's not a really, you know, forward-thinking kind of April Fool joke. I do like the Barley Phone RAFD tag and the Mootooth earphone. That's kind of fun. But, oh yeah, they're also powered by methane, so that works wonders. And they have a D-pad built into the corral there. But, I just thought it was kind of a little bit of a poor showing. I mean, there were some of the other ones that were really interesting and really fun. Now, if you had like a Bluetooth or a Skype-enabled dog where the dog was actually able to open up and have a Skype phone inside it, now that would be kind of cool. But, you know, cows are inherently funny. So, there's always the Monty Python reference to cows with the haunty Frenchman throwing them over the English castle, which for some reason the French are inhabiting in England. So they Fletcher La Marche, I believe. So you know, launch the cow. All right, one of my buddies just saw Spamalot, I think a couple days ago, so he absolutely loved it. So thought I'd pass that along to you. We're actually going to see, for my birthday, my wife's getting me tickets to King Tut when he comes to Philadelphia, which he's actually here now, I believe. But we're going to see the exhibit. Being an archaeology major, that's one of the, you know, going to be the highlights of my archaeology studies, actually getting to see, you know, artifacts from the King Tut tomb. So that's going to be kind of cool. But that's not an April Fool's joke. Let's see. Oh yeah, and then finally in the April Fool's definite joke category, there's definite jokes, there's the gray area, which we're not really sure whether or not they're jokes, and then there are the, we are pretty sure these aren't jokes, but don't kill us if they end up being. They have the top 10 throughout, top 10 pranks throughout history on April Fool's Day. I'm just going to run down them. I think I talked a little bit about these last year. First one, unbelievable. 1957, a BBC television program announced that due to the mild winter and the virtual elimination of the spaghetti weevil, Swiss farmers were enjoying a bumper spaghetti crop. And they had footage of guys pulling spaghetti off of trees. And of course, the wonderful American public decided to, or wonderful British public in this case, decided to call into the BBC to know how they grow their own spaghetti at home. wonderful. 1985, Sport Illustrated magazine published a story that a rookie baseball pitcher who could reportedly throw at 270 kilometers per hour, 168 miles an hour, and he was going to join the New York Mets. A man named Finch was said to have mastered his skill, pitching significantly faster than anyone else had ever imagined in a Tibetan monastery. For some reason, Mets fans started writing in praising the Mets management for finding such a rare talent. Wonderful. Sweden, 1962. Apparently, there was a TV show that said all your black and white TVs can be made instantly colored if you cover them with nylon stockings. Yeah, it didn't really work. Color broadcasts weren't allowed in Sweden until 1970, or weren't available in Sweden until 1970. I don't remember this one, but apparently in 1996, Taco Bell came out and said they had bought the Liberty Bell here in my hometown of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and they were going to rename it the Taco Liberty Bell. Outraged citizen called before they figured out that it was announced on April Fool's Day. 1977. Let's see. A British newspaper, The Guardian, published a seventh-page supplemental for the 10th anniversary of Sans Serif, a small republic located in the Indian Ocean, consisting of several semicolon-shaped islands. The series of articles described the geology, culture, and two main islands of uppercase and lowercase. No information on how that was received. 1992, U.S. NPR, National Public Radio, announced that Richard Nixon was running for president again in 1992. I actually remember this one. His new campaign was entitled, "I Didn't Do Anything Wrong, and I Won't Do It Again." They actually had clips of him announcing his candidacy. People flooded, outraged that he would even try this. And it was actually turned to be the work of a impersonator. Wonderful. We apologize to the residents the great state of Alabama at this point in time, because in 1998, a newsletter titled New Mexicans for Science and Reason carried a article that the state of Alabama had voted to change the value of pi from its traditional 3.14159265358 to the biblical value of 3.0. Outstanding. And in Burger King, another American fast food chain, published a full-page advertisement in the USA Today in 1998 announcing the introduction of the left-handed Whopper. Apparently all of the ingredients and everything were rotated 180 degrees to provide ample use for left-handed people. Again, the wonderful American public showed its face up and actually started ordering the left-handed Whopper. And some people actually went so far as to order the right-handed Whopper just to make sure that they got the proper taste configuration for their mouths. Yeah. I would hope I wouldn't be duped by something that simple. Then we have Discovery Magazine, 1995. Highly respected biologist April Piazzo, April Pazzo, Italian for April Fool, had discovered a new species in Antarctica, the hot-headed naked ice borer. These creatures were described as having bony plates on their head that became burning hot, allowing the animals to burrow through ice at high rates of speed, a technique they used to hunt penguins. And finally, the last one they have here is noted British astronomer Patrick Moore announced on the radio in 1976 at 9:47 a.m. a once-in-a-lifetime astronomical event in which Pluto would pass behind Jupiter and would cause a gravitational alignment that would reduce Earth's gravity. Moore told listeners that if they jumped in the air at the exact moment of the planetary alignment, they would experience a floating sensation. Hundreds of people called in to report the feeling. So, yes, people are stupid, especially in large groups. So, as we move right along here, that is the end of the definite jokes for April Fool's. Thought we'd give you the little rundown through history there at the end. Hope that wasn't too boring for you. Now we have enter into our gray area. These are two stories that I saw which would be awesome if they were true, but I'm very unsure of how they are, whether or not they are. The first up is the handheld Atari makes nostalgia portable. They show you a very old Pitfall cassette, a very new looking handheld, and then Pitfall being played on the handheld. So that could be or could not be a joke, but it's awesome just to think about that. I think it's more along the lines of a joke, though, just because they're using the old cassette, and not very many people have the cassettes themselves laying around now. If they were going to put something like this out, it would actually be, that I could see, it would actually be a handheld, and you would probably have to buy new mini cassettes, just because nobody would ever actually let you use your old content. That's very inefficient. Why would you do that? And then the last thing, oh, wow. And of course, I reloaded the page, and it came up all kinds of messed up. The next thing we have here is Microsoft is set to announce the Zune 360 and the Zune 180. Now, the only reason that I actually think this is may or may not be fake is the fact that they announced the 180, and I really doubt that Microsoft would do that. But hey, I could be wrong. Apparently, they're going to be 40 and 80 gigabyte models. The 180 device is going to be smaller size and similar to the iPod Nano. They're saying that that's going to feature a cell phone. So that's another thing. You know, introducing a cell phone into this, maybe not. So this is kind of strange. So it's going to be built-in indexing in the 360 to allow for much easier searching of songs. So let's see exactly if that one actually turns to fruition. While I have been intrigued by the idea of a Zune, never enough to actually go out and buy one or even, you know, really look at one, interestingly enough. We were walking through Sam's Club at one point a couple months ago, and I actually saw an entire stack of Zunes, and I was like, oh, so that's what the box looks like. Yeah, that's pretty nice. And that was about as far as that went. All right, now the next little thing is we are definitely sure that these are not April Fool's jokes, we think. All right, so this is over at hackaday.com. This is Steampunk RSS Telegraph and Keyboard, etc. So this is a person who, through the use of electricity, a little bit of electricity, I believe, and ingenuity, has a way to create an RSS Telegraph reader. So it takes RSS feeds from his computer and then telegraphs them out, which is just very cool. I do have a couple friends who, before the amateur radio license people removed the conditions for telegraph and Morse code knowledge in there, they actually were quite fluent in telegraph and Morse code, and they could actually pretty much transcode, you know, sentences at will into Morse code. Kind of irritating when they were trying to mess with you, but still. So there's that over at Hackaday.com. That's kind of fun. And the last little things we have here is a news story. So this may or may not be fake again, but we're going to throw it out there anyway. This is from FunTechTalk.com. So this is the story of an illegal gaming tournament, because apparently in Fort Collins, California, it's illegal to charge admission for a gathering without a permit. So there's 60-plus competitors determined. And, I'm sorry, among the 60-plus competitors was a very determined young team of adults, and one teenager was on this team. They decided that they were all going to wear the adult diapers, a la the crazy astronaut. And just in case they had an accident, or just in case they couldn't hold their business until after the tournament was over, that they would have a place to go in case that happened without soiling themselves unnecessarily. Well, apparently the younger member of the team drank five cans of a caffeine-loaded drink called Spike Shooter. There's actually a link to it, so I believe it's a real product over at Amazon.com. But, yeah, Spike Shooter, I don't know about this. When I go over to the product description over at Amazon.com, they're saying for a 24-pack of these things, it's $52.99. That seems to be more than a little high, so we'll see. But apparently, because he had so many of these things, he just could not hold his business, the business being the number two business, and decided to try and play through the pain and the smell of a sewer. That didn't work out too well when nearby gamers complained about him, so he was ejected forcibly from the tournament and his team forced to forfeit. Because he was so irritated that he lost his entrance money, he called the cops, which then came and broke up the illegal gaming tournament without a permit. So that's your news for that little area. That's the end of the tech tidbits for the day also. So hopefully you found that enjoyable. We only had two little bits of caffeinated bits before we'd send you out on your way, and hopefully you came away just a little bit uneducated today, because there wasn't much to actually talk about. The best and cruelest joke ever must have been played by ThinkGeek today. Yes, they had the Surge Sticks. What are they? They're inhalable caffeine sticks. They look much similar to cigarettes. They look like light blue cigarettes. They're wonderful. For apparently $5.99, you can get 18 milligrams of caffeine delivered. Oh, I'm sorry, 180 milligrams of caffeine per serving. So you suck one right down, and kind of like an inhaler. It says you snap and inhale. So yeah, that would be kind of cool. I'd definitely try that out. Now the next thing, I don't think's necessarily a April Fool's joke, but it does look kind of cool, so I wouldn't be surprised if it was. But it's a reimagined tea bag. It's a tea bag that has an open top, so you can add whatever kind of tea that you prefer to it. Then it has two clips which pull out from the side, so that it makes kind of like a basket or funnel through which you pour your boiling water into the mug. So it's actually much more along the lines of a tea ball or something like that that you throw in there. I wonder if this would work for coffee, so you could actually be able to add a couple of little things in there. That'd be kind of fun. But you know, maybe create your own flavored sensations and fusions. Now, I'd like to kind of clarify my stance on flavored coffee. I'll consider it if it's put in front of me, but the morning cup of coffee should never really be a flavored cup of coffee. That's sacrilegious along certain lines. But I'm not adverse to adding things to coffee to create flavor. Like, I wouldn't be against adding cinnamon to coffee, you know, through the process of making it. But I would be adverse to actually getting a bean itself that is flavored. The coffee should be pristine. You know, you can imagine whatever kind of roast you want, but I kind of want just plain normal coffee. If I want flavor, I'll add it to it later. But, alright, let's see. I think that's about it for today's. Yep, that's it for today's little thing here. The Caffeination 119, the 119th edition here at the Caffeination. I think we've actually had 124 shows put out there, so hopefully everybody found all this interesting. It's been kind of a fun show. Like I said, I'm a little disappointed there wasn't more real news floating around today, but then again, what do you expect? This has been a proud production of the Caffeination Podcast, found over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. You can send all your comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail over to caffeination@gmail.com. As always, we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. We're also proudly listed over at the Blueberry Network. That's Blubrry. That's Blueberry without the E's. It's a social podcasting network site, kind of like MySpace for podcasts. You can see all the shows that we listen to and all the people that like ours. And in relation to MySpace, if you're looking for us on MySpace, like some of our new friends over there are, you can head on over to myspace.com/caffeination to find us. So thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.